You didn't say two or one. And welcome to the Glacially Musical Podcast. It is beer, metal, and swearing. I am Nick Cameron. Welcome to Record Store Day Bonus. We are now joined by my good friend, a man who completely fulfills the intro that I am working up on the fly. Keefe Chakas, I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. Happy Record Store Day to you, sir.
Happy Record Store Day to all who celebrate. Before we get into the news, let me just say, if you do choose to celebrate Record Store Day, you are being taken. You are a fool. You are being used by the record people. And I'm right there with you, just taking it up the butt, just getting ripped off every year. I always say, you know, we spend 6 to 8 months of this podcast talking about how we hate Record Store Day, it doesn't matter, and yet, what happens when that stupid thing rolls around? My ass is at a record store every single year. So, this is a bonus episode. We have no idea how long we're going to go. I don't ever start cooking spaghetti meatballs until 5:30, so then this evening, lawyer wife and I are going to watch Star Wars outside on the bigger screen, which is nice. And I don't know if anybody's noticing, if you're watching this on YouTube, I am wearing the full tracksuit. I'm just going to stand up so you can see the whole thing. I am in full-on Adidas tracksuit. I am in my Sopranos era or Beastie Boys era, depending upon how we're recording. But being as I learned yesterday that one of the most famous mafia assassinations took place in my neighborhood, I'm in my Sopranos era today. Next week, it'll be Beastie Boys. But if I am too vicious and violent in the tracksuit, I'll take it off. To unveil Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, shirt check early.
I like my sugar with coffee and cream.
That is literally my karaoke jam. And because I'm like weird, I don't move or do anything until it starts going. And then all of a sudden a switch flips and Nick goes nuts. And I've heard from karaoke people saying, I wish you all could see from my vantage point, because the moment he started going, everybody went from this to this, so you had to be watching on video to get that.
In the immortal, no beer yet check, because I didn't shirt check yet. In the immortal words of Phil Hartman, this is something, this is nothing. I literally pulled myself out of bed. I slept like 1 hour. I went to a record store day. I came home. I got out of bed. I took a shower right before this, so I literally get to see some sexy Keith hairs. And I'm wearing my lean, mean, and green Hulk shirt, Marvel, and my, my typical house attire of a flannel of some sort.
Just for the record, I am not alone as we record today. Goose is here.
Yay, Goose.
He is asleep and does not give two shits. So, beer check this week. This is week four of your United Football League season, and your St. Louis Battlehawks are 3-1, leading the league, and in honor, I am drinking a Kakaw lager. Last week, you may recall, I had a battle brew. Let me put this into my Ellicottville Brewing pint glass. Finger fudge pour. Uh-oh.
Over the top. Again, no beer here. You did say you were going to have a Kakaw. I have another Liquid Death. Murder Your Thirst.
Murder Your Thirst.
This is the wonderful Convicted Melon flavor.
And that's funny.
I have a glass to drink it out of, but I didn't wash it. It's brand new, so I'm not gonna. I'll show you the glass though, but I'm not gonna drink out of it. I went to yesterday, in addition to Record Store Day today, as we record this on also Happy 420. I celebrate. I don't think you are. I went to the Fat Records.
No, store. It smells too bad.
I went to the annual or the semi-annual Fat Records warehouse pop-up shop that they have at their warehouse here in San Francisco. And while I didn't have a lot of money to buy things on the pop-up shop day, because honestly, they're a little overpriced, because it's their store. It should be cheaper because it's at the warehouse, right? No, I don't know. I did get this Fat Records mug, which is cool with the Fat logo. And on the back it says, you know, it's a, I think it's the Descendants drinking coffee. I drink coffee, drinking coffee every day. So,
Percolator tour.
Gonna drink my Convicted Melon pop and a cheers.
Cheers, my friend. Thank you for joining us on very short notice. Keefe got a text from me at, as I was coming home from Record Store Day, and I said, hey, you know what we should do? We should do a bonus episode. Let's do 15 minutes. It's probably going to end up being like 45, because why not?
Once we get started, I'm good. Earlier, I was like, I don't think I'm going to make this. Like 20 minutes ago, I was like, could I bail? I don't want to bail, but I might have to bail. I don't feel too great. I did a dumb thing. So, like, here, let's talk about the content for a second. Nick used to do a blog, and you know that I have ghostcultmag.com, and it's a lot of work. Me and Omar...
Crazy amounts of work.
Omar cut this, and I do inhuman amounts of work to make this shit go. It's okay. I'm not looking for an attaboy or an aw shucks or anything.
Attaboy, aw shucks.
I don't need either.
I appreciate you.
I know. It's not about appreciation. What I'm saying is, like, the amount of person hours for a thing that doesn't actually pay much is a lot. And so it's a constant content making. So I was like on the fence all week. I really have been strapped for time. I haven't been feeling great. We did our pod and I was feeling really good that day. I had a good day that day, but then I've had other days not so good. I was like, oh, I want to do a Record Store Day preview. We did a Record Store Day smash or pass about 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, it was the same episode with Danny. Shouldn't have did it that way. Should have did just a chaser. Next year, just an episode chaser, a bonus episode on Record Store Day preview.
Then we can give 30 seconds a title to actually talk about it.
And actually, like, I now have a vision for how I'm going to do this in the future, where it's going to be a complete, wonderful rollout of stuff instead of like, I don't know what I'm doing. Because that's what it feels like. I look like I don't know what I'm doing, even though I absolutely know what I'm doing. So all week, I was like, if I do a YouTube video, I can't do 100 titles. I can only do like 20 because people don't watch these things to the end anyway. So they don't have the attention span. My most watched videos, my interview with Hai Lung is almost at 100,000. My interview with Jinx Dawson of Coven is at almost 50,000. And my interview with Fat Mike from Fat Records and NoFX is at almost 25,000. So those are pretty great. All the rest of them are smaller. Top 10, top 20 are pretty impressive, but the rest of them are little. Relatively little for how big some of these stars are that I luckily get to talk to. And
I know that feeling. I interviewed Rex Brown forever ago.
I mean, it's great.
And it was shared on Pantera.com, and I barely got 400 views.
And that's just, like, wow. That's just life. That's just life. Even when Blabbermouth has picked up my stuff and tried to make a viral thing happen, it never has a residual effect on my YouTube or my website. It's always like one or the other, and they usually link the wrong thing. But what I was going to say is, all week I debated, do I do a short video or do a comprehensive write-up? And even yesterday I was like, I could still do this video, but it's only going to be like 20 minutes because that's all anyone will watch. And then at the 11th hour when I was going to go record, I scrapped my shooting script that I was going to read off of and do a visual thing as a live stream. Like I do my weekly ritual live stream if those want to watch on YouTube at Ghost Cult Mag. YouTube.com/@Ghost Cult Mag. Instead, I wrote a blog. And what I did was I wrote a 3,600-word blog that has only been read 200 times. Was it worth it? Absolutely not. Do I feel better having done this comprehensive thing? Yes. Next year, I'm going to do it all like 2 months early. As soon as the list comes out, I'm going to do all the prep work. You and I are going to do a proper one episode on Record Store Day if it matters that much to us. Unless we look at the list and we're like, this list sucks and I don't care.
No, we spend so much time talking about it that we should do a proper episode.
And clearly Nick was joking at the top of the show. Obviously, we still like Record Store Day. There are pluses and minuses every Record Store Day, and we'll talk about them. But I still like supporting the little guys. I still – like, if I had the money, I don't know that I would hit every record store in San Francisco. It's just too much work. And I like supporting the smallest independent place. Even though I love Amoeba here in San Francisco, they're great. I can't – like, again, every store does Record Store Day a little bit different. It's not universal. The intention is there's a list. The list comes out early. You go put your picks in, and then you go and they have it ready for you. You go pick it up. You're some kind of thing. There's a lottery. I can't wait at midnight the night before, put my list in, and still be competing against thousands of people to maybe get my record. That doesn't make sense to me.
That is totally not how Nick does it.
Despite how I sound on these podcasts, I am not really a competitive person. I retreat from competition because I'm in a competition with myself. More than anything else, my best self is who I'm trying to top. So I don't want to have to fight like 3 years ago when Amigo the Devil put out like a rarity thing and it was only like 2,000 of these things made and I had to have it. And I went to Amoeba. I had put my thing in the day before and I was 152. At 152, they only had 20 copies and that's Amoeba. And no one else had it. So, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to just sit on it and wait. And I eventually just bought it off of Discogs like a herb and paid a lot for it because I'm obsessed with that dude and his music. We probably should do an Amigo the Devil run. We haven't done any folk or Americana. And we haven't really done black metal and we haven't done a hardcore band, weirdly, in the year and a half that we've been doing this.
We did Robert Plant pre-Americana phase.
I'm not interested in Robert Plant's Americana.
I don't like it.
He's great. I don't like it. I just don't. I'm selfish. It's not what I want. I listen to a lot. I was doing bad yesterday, and I listened to a lot of Zeppelin to power through. I just went right back to my roots, and I did like Rush, Pink Floyd, Zeppelin for like a day, and didn't do anything else.
What I'm doing right now is I'm listening to records that I haven't listened to in a while because they don't have the outer condom.
So I am running. I have been reorganizing my stuff and fixing up my Discogs, and I am now out of sleeves mostly. So my brand new purchases are not cleaned or checked or whatever yet. And I'm sure you're ahead of me on that because you probably came right home and did it.
I came right home. I'll get into that when we get to it. I'll tell my tale. But let's move forward if you don't mind.
Do you have a brief news check? Do you have anything?
I don't have a news check. I have a vinyl check that I would like to drop this week.
All right, vinyl check, brief news check. Go for it.
This is something I mentioned.
Is it a separate vinyl check or the Record Store Day vinyl check?
This is a separate vinyl check because have crap tons of vinyl to check. And it's just,
I'll allow it. I'm only going to do my Record Store Day stuff. So you just vinyl check by yourself. Go ahead.
I'm only doing a one-fer this week. A couple of months ago, actually longer than that because I'm getting old and time has no meaning anymore, I briefly mentioned Casey Musgraves at work. And one of my coworkers was like, I can't believe you like Casey Musgraves. And I'm like, why? I love Johnny Cash. I love Hank Williams. I love Waylon Jennings. I love Willie Nelson. And I feel, personally, that Casey Musgraves fits right in with all of those people, at least her first couple records. She got a little poppy later. And I have her first four. I also have her two Christmas records by Casey Ass Musgraves. We also spent $130 per ticket to see her at the Stiefel Theater. We had to buy... All of the bots bought them up, so we had to buy the $30 tickets for like $130 a piece, including fees. But I did pick up and pre-ordered her latest album, which is called Deeper Well. It's already in the... Everything's going to be in sleeves going forward because of how far ahead I am. It is a gatefold. Sorry, I bumped the... it is a gatefold. It's got swans and whatnots. This one, thankfully, is not about her breakup. That was her last record. This is not the limited edition cover with her naked, because I don't need that. It is a cool, clear, and green splatter. It's very cool.
That's what I call the bird shit design. I like it.
Yeah, that is... It is
pigeon shit.
Goose.
Not a statue.
Goose shit. Straight up goose shit.
Is this a Pantera reference? Straight up doggy shit.
No, and look, and then there's geese all up in the fucking thing. So no, it is straight up goose shit. It is not as good as her first record. Her first record is her best, which is same trailer, different park. But it is coming. She's finally melding the country and the pop a little bit. So. Oh no, quality record. Glad I got it. Got it on Amazon, like $25. Nothing special.
When Casey Musgraves makes that reference, I believe her. When Bob Ritchie, aka Schmucky Kid Rock, is like, "I'm not straight out Compton. I'm straight out the trailer," which you know he wasn't. He's an asshole. I do like Casey Musgraves, and I would say that I think if you like Casey Musgraves, you would certainly. We discussed Brandi Carlile. I know you weren't like set on fire by her like I was. I think you would really like Maren Morris also. Maren Morris is a boss, similar career arc to Casey, kind of country-ish, folk Americana, poppy a little, back to Americana country, and also Gracie Abrams. So there's this kind of collective of newish artists. You know, either you go come like folk Americana to alternative rock, or you go folk Americana back the other way to country. So I think it's a very interesting journey for Casey. She's a real talent, no doubt.
We learned about her on the way home. We were on a date night. We're coming home from Himalayan Yeti, which is the best Indian food in St. Louis. And we're listening to Here's My Nerd Cred, NPR. And we're listening to Prairie Home Companion. And she was the artist on Prairie Home Companion. And it's like we heard the song Same Trailer, or Merry-Go-Round. You know, Mama's hooked on Mary Kay, Brother's hooked on Mary Jane, and Daddy's hooked on Mary Three Doors Down. You know, on this merry-go-round, and it's got the pedal steel guitar, and it's proper old school 50s and 60s country, except it's so much wittier, it's so much verbose, it's so much more verbose. The verbosity is just, her ability to turn a phrase is just phenomenal. And I ended up buying it on Amazon on vinyl before we even got home from dinner. So if you've not heard of Casey Musgraves, if you like country, start with Same Trailer, Different Park.
Word up. And we have yet to do, I mean, like when you did the giant unboxing of your late father-in-law's records, we stopped to talk about a lot of those records, and it was a lot of Willie and Johnny. I am absolutely dead. I love Willie Waylon Johnny and Hank 1 and Hank 3 and 4. I do not like Hank too much.
Hank Sr. was a genius.
Hank Sr. is a treasure in a lot of ways. Like, they don't, like, the way that people fawn over Buddy Holly, and deservedly so. He was a musical Einstein. He couldn't, like, it was similar to Hendrix. He had, like, a sound in his head, and he just couldn't. He was just trying to find his way to get it out because the techniques of recording were not there yet. So he was, like, pushing.
Eddie Kramer.
Ah, yes. But young Eddie Kramer. But so Hank Sr. was similar. Not the same, but similar. He had a similar, just that he heard music, like, in a very unique way. I would love to do a Hank Sr. run. I would love to do a Willie run. We'd have to pick. We talked about, because you had all those 70s Willie records, so we did talk a lot about them. Whether they were good or not, no. Pass. I wouldn't mind doing some of the Johnny iconic stuff. Or Waylon has probably got the best career arc of all of them in terms of consistency beside Hank.
They all have really interesting careers, because in the Johnny records, when you say, oh, we'll do the iconic Johnny records, oh, do you mean the American Recordings albums? Because those are the only albums he did that are good. I have 30 Johnny Cash records, like 30. They're all over there. I can bust them out, and every record has two or three great songs. These are 2080 records, because like Waylon Jennings for the first chunk of his career, they were Nashville hacks. Johnny, you know, you ever seen that movie, That Thing You Do?
Yes, I did.
Mr. White, I thought I was gonna do my songs. You get one cut each side. You're going to do That Thing You Do in Spanish. You're going to play these other songs. That's Play Tone Label. And for that, I'll give you one track, one cut each side. That is Johnny Cash from 1958 to the rest of his career until he gets up with Rick Rubin. And then Waylon also complete.
I'm going to chime in and do my... I listened to that American recording series like an obscene amount in the middle of listening to like a lot of black and death metal. I hurt myself today. But I love that record. I love those records. And I
if
would also.
You know, you tread I, lightly.
I am. I love Johnny as much or more than you, believe me. I wouldn't mind doing an early Johnny run and then that last Johnny run. I would do it. I think it'd be very interesting to compare and contrast. You might not be as into it as me.
But no, I'm into that, but it would be long. That would be a long series because we would have to. He did 3 to 4 albums a year for the first 10 years of his career.
Maybe we cherry pick it. Like, we cherry pick the early series because, like, it'd be hard. I'd let you pick them. If you want to pick the four best.
I'd pick the records I got on my damn shelf. Is that fair? It's not fair.
It's not fair, but it's also not, it might not be pleasing for the fans, but I think it would
be
I don't think it's unfair to me. I don't care what's fair to me.
Fair enough.
I want to make good series that are compelling and get us more followers. We have 60 subs. Please follow.
61.
If you're new to the show, please, you're not supposed to oversay this, but please like and subscribe and give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. I appreciate you.
I appreciate everybody that listens. Now I'm going to finish. The first 10 years of Waylon Jennings' career, he was a Nashville hack. If you're not familiar with what that term means, it basically means he showed up. They said, okay, Waylon J, you're going to come to the studio. We're going to make a record this weekend. And then they gave him a list of the songs he was going to sing. I mean, I have him singing Johnny Cash songs in the 60s. And some of those records are amazing. It wasn't until the 70s, and he was a well-established singer and star at that point, that he was able to sing what he wanted and make his own art. And that is all I'm going to say about Waylon Jennings today. If you want to do a run on his Nashville Hack series, I ended up picking up 8 of those records at a thrift shop for a quarter apiece. And just for the record, some of those are actually fairly valuable, which kind of really surprised me. Like, there's one for the Love of the Common People. Last thing on country music today from Nick. Did I tell you I'm seeing Willie Nelson this year?
Yes, you did. And I'm happy about it. I have never seen Willie Nelson. And same. Even Omar Cutis has seen Willie Nelson's last year. Willie Nelson also had a Record Store Day release this year of the concert from last year where he turned 90. So I don't know. I've never seen him. The tickets are really expensive. I'm not going to get covered for Ghost Cult to go see Willie Nelson, but I'd love to go.
We got ours for $60 a piece.
Yeah.
We also got hard tickets for $60 a piece. And apparently in Canada, they were like $300 for the cheapest stuff.
He's not only not coming near me, so if I go travel to go see him, that's a whole expensive car fare and stay in a hotel overnight and then come back. So it's like I have to really plot it out. I don't know.
Yeah, we looked into, because George Thorogood and John Fogerty are touring this year. Mm. Oh, my God. You want to talk about a bill? Me and lawyer wife want to see something fierce? Yeah, guess what? We're in Vegas when he's here.
Ah.
Yep.
All right. I said let's do a brief news check, so we're out of order. We Amtrak a little bit. But I wanted to do a serious brief news check. I came home from Record Store Day. I was about to go back to bed because I'm exhausted. I stayed up all night writing this thing that almost no one read for myself. I wrote it for myself. I shouldn't have did it. It's one of those. And similar to the My Heart is Broken, I'm going to write a concert review about how I sat at a concert heartbroken. Dumb. Just dumb. Dumb stuff. I'm emo. In my emo phase. You're in your Sopranos phase. I'm in some emo shit phase. I'm going to paint my nails black. And wear all black, which I like colors.
Sopranos era.
Era, sorry, phase. Did I say phase? Sorry.
You said phase. We're straight up. We're Tay-Tay here.
Smiling's just a phase, and nothing can phase me. New Taylor Swift album out now, breaking the whole internet and world.
And then she dropped a second album that night, because, like, you know, what the hell? Here's another one.
Yeah. Well, you know, Beyonce can do it. She can do it. So the news today that is not, I came home from Record Store Day to find out that after a very long 4-year battle against cancer, Eddie Leeway has died. Now, again, we haven't done really any New York hardcore, and I have thrown out some potentials. Probably Agnostic Front would be the one I would want to do first. Cro-Mags is probably a step better. Sick of It All is not a bad choice. Madball, love their first few records. I love them. They're weird guys. They're not the best guys to talk about. But Eddie Leeway died of cancer today, or died of cancer, actually passed away yesterday, and they announced it today. Leeway is an iconic second-wave New York hardcore band from Astoria, Queens. He had an extremely distinctive vocal style, not in the least inspired by John Joseph's delivery, which John Joseph's delivery from Cro-Mags was inspired by Bad Brains. And he had a very tough life, a lot of addiction and other struggles, but also Leeway was like one of the central, if New York City had a crossover band that was hardcore and thrash at the same time, but with the hardcore vocals, it's Leeway. And a lot of people tried to rip them off, but couldn't, because Eddie had a very distinctive delivery and lyrical angle. And the band was copied a lot by people who got bigger. So, you know, similar to, like, let's say Suicidal, and then a lot of the little Suicycos popped up copying Suicidal. Lee Way was very, very influential. A person who was a mentor to me that has also long passed away a couple of years ago, that guy used to just sit around and talk about Lee Way shows with me. And I had seen them. I saw them a few times on different bills, matinee, CBGBs, other ones, violent shows, scary, like, you're going to get killed at this show. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And he battled very publicly, clean, you know, he got his life together. Lee Way was still touring up to a few months ago. They may continue with another singer. We'll find out. There's a lot of people, you know, there's been some tribute shows and charity shows. Funeral is in Queens this week. Funeral arrangements, if people want to go, I think it's going to be public. And, you know, we lost another good one. He was young to go, you know, cancer robbed him of a lot of life, probably. So it sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring us way down, as usual.
Okay. Let me say my piece, and then I'm going to bring this into happy. So about 10 years ago, Ray Manzarek died. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with Ray Manzarek. Ray Manzarek, the keyboard player and the musical compositionist of most of your favorite Doors songs that were not written by Robbie Krieger. I'm talking to a buddy of mine, my best friend Chris, and he said, you know what, Nick, get ready. Because it's coming. And that was when the 60s guys were dying, and then we started losing the 70s guys, and we're not real far from losing the 80s guys, and right now, remember, you know, I'm 48 years old. I have been into this music and into music in general for over 40 years. I mean, like, literally listening to music on the radio, caring about whom I'm listening to and all that business for so long. A lot of the people that you love are coming to the end. Their train is going to pull into the station. That's why we're seeing Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan this year. I am not the biggest Willie Nelson fan in the world, and I'm definitely not the biggest Bob Dylan fan in the world. Although I did discover this week, I do have the Mama's in the Basement, mixing up the medicine, I'm on the payment, thinking about the government. I got that song on vinyl. I had no idea. So if somebody is coming to town that you have been interested in, even if it's what passes for, I'm going to urge you to go out and see them, because this may be the very last time. Our next concert is Stevie Nicks. We are seeing the queen of the world, Stevie Nicks, next month. And she's in her 70s. Think about that for a second. Stevie Nicks is in her 70s. We're seeing Heart, they're in their 70s. And just remember that every time somebody comes to your town, every tour, it may be the very last time. I saw, like, the fourth or fifth ever last show of Motorhead. And that's when Lemmy was getting really sick, and the vibe of that show was strange. Ex Mortis opened, they were amazing, followed by Saxon, which was very cool. And then it's like, okay, what's going to happen with Motorhead? Lemmy had only been able to go three or four songs in very recent shows, and it was a weird vibe. So do not regret. It's way better to regret going to a show than regret never having seen them. I have never seen anyone from Pink Floyd, and I never will.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a possibility that Nick is going to do one more tour. I think we might get the Nick tour back.
We'll see. But you know what? That's be my last one that I would pick. But anyway, so on to better and brighter news.
Yay, Goose.
I am now announcing that Goose Cameron is now the producer of the Glacially Musical podcast. As you can see, he is happy, he is stripy, and he is good. He does not tell us what to do. He mostly just sleeps while we talk.
Cats, I mean, that's what they do. They live the best life possible so we can fuck off. And
oh my god, it is so spring. He just dropped a half a cat of hair.
Right on you, in your black shirt, too. I really need a cat back in my life again. It's been, it's hard.
I don't have any extras.
You actually do, though, but none that I would take. None that I, the old infirm ones, sorry to say, I'm not purchasing a small disaster.
I only have one old infirmed one.
I'm broken, and I don't want to date anyone else broken. Sorry, I can't do the hard work anymore. I'm too old. And I'm going to rescue a pet when I get my next place by myself.
I hear you. May we continue?
Yes.
Alrighty, so here's my story of record store day. I am at the bar last night. Lawyer wife and I had a super date night, and it was lovely, and it was awesome. We were going to do Ruth's Chris Steakhouse because we were given a gift card. And then I looked at time, and I went, oh, let's do that another time. Maybe we do that before the Stevie Nicks show. Because we wouldn't have eaten until 9, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I ended up having an Italian sandwich. Anyway, so I'm at the bar going to get a round of drinks for us, and I started muttering to myself, distilled water, distilled water, distilled water. Because I'm out of distilled water. Keefe, what is distilled water for?
Cleaning your vinyl records.
Cleaning your vinyl records. And what was the next day after yesterday? It was record store day. What did I know for certain? My ass was going record shopping. My hope was that I would come across the Eric Carr Unfinished Business. What I did not know was a box set. And I'll get to that. I forgot to buy the distilled water on the way home. Realized that. And so then I had to go back to the grocery store after the Battlehawks victory over the Memphis Showboats. And I'm in line and I'm texting lawyer wife. Okay, I got your chocolate. I got our Kleenex. I got your mini Cokes. Did I miss? Oh, fuck. Distilled water. So I had to get out of line to go back and get the distilled water, which I did. So I have distilled water, so I was able to clean my records. So at record store day, this is Nick's story. This is the story that is mine. I love Kiss. Have I ever mentioned them or anything? I mean, has anybody?
No, never. Okay. I don't think it's ever come up that you are a fan of the band Kiss. Kiss, you say? I've never heard of them.
Oh yeah,
Are they a musical act?
They're kind of. They're kind of a musical act. They do musical things, ish. And I am, for anybody who has not listened to the Department of Metal Antiquities, I'm a big fan of families of music. And that's actually one of the things I have thought about forever. Do I put my records in alphabetical order of artist, or do I put them in alphabetical order of family? Do I move my David Gilmour, Nick Mason, Roger Waters, Syd Barrett records in with Pink Floyd, or do I leave them where they are? I have not come to a great conclusion on that, so I've left them in alphabetical order, largely because it would take way more work to change that than it is to leave it as it is. So and Kiss, I think, actually was the band that started me down that path. I have about half of Ace Frehley's solo work on vinyl. I have Bruce Kulick stuff. I have I bought all of the Bruce Kulick stuff back in the day. I bought the Union stuff. I bought Eric Carr Rockology, which came out in the 90s. I bought all this stuff. And it's the same with like View Askew. I bought all of the Kevin Smith movies, and then I bought all of the View Askew movies that were remotely related to Kevin Smith. Also, if you have never seen Drawing Flies starring Jason and Carmen Lee, oh my god, you hate yourself. Check it out. That movie's amazing. It is about Bigfoot, so it gets weird real fast.
She ended up divorcing Jason Lee. That's Carmen Llewellyn now. Back to Carmen Llewellyn.
At the time, it was Carmen Lee.
That is Kim from Chasing Amy, who makes out with Amy at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. Hot. And
don't be that guy.
Why are you staring? I'm sorry. Whatever you say right now, you're going to sound worse than usual. I can't paraphrase right now. But she said some very disparaging things about Scientology, so I'm sure they put a hit out on her.
Okay, then. So my goal this week was to get Eric Carr's Unfinished Business. It is in a is a dual disc set. There are five unreleased tracks from the Unfinished Business CD, which came out in the teens of some sort. I'm going to point out, I did not buy that. And the reason why I did not buy the original CD, which came out before I became a vinyl snob. That's important to know. Frankly, there are five or six tracks which are snippets of interviews. So that tells me there's not a whole lot in the bucket of unreleased Eric Carr tracks for them to be able to stick onto a vinyl record. Going back to Rockology, I tried to get the Rockology Record Store Day release from two years ago. I did not purchase the picture disc version of it because I will not buy picture discs, period, anymore. I have one and I regret buying it. It's actually not terrible, but I have Ace Frehley's Anomaly on picture disc because they announced that repress, and then 2 months later they announced the, you know, not picture disc version. So thank you very much, Monarch Heavy. But anyway, they actually remixed it and remastered it to make it so where it sounds good. The original pressings of Ace Frehley Anomaly on Bronx Born Records, do not purchase because they sound like ass. Anyway, so I did not purchase.
Selfishly, to interject, as a person born in the Bronx, New York.
You're from the Bronx?
Born and raised. Have you ever heard that I lived in Boston?
No, I'm from New York. Never.
Do you know how much I talk about pizza and
Did you ever go to school anywhere? I mean, I've never even heard anything.
Fun story. I went to school everywhere. I sang Whitney Houston. I was texting with a girl I met on Tinder because I'm full of bad life choices, as Nick is making noise, not on mute, because he doesn't listen to me ever when I speak. Especially
if I forgot, I'm sorry.
Fart around in the chair, mute yourself. Your creaky chair that needs WD-40. I'm texting a girl I met on Tinder, and I said, word. And she's like, what? Is that a typo? I was like, no, word is my favorite word, W-E-R-D. She's like, I'm going to need a further explanation. And I said, okay. If I end up...
The further explanation is, I am sorry, I'm way too old for you.
I never feel I'm too old for anybody, and I don't. There's a certain range, and she's in the range. Stop being insulting to me. I'm not a creep. Just because it's Tinder,
I'm being silly.
Yeah, it's not creepy. I had other people who were like, people were like, oh, I think you're too old for me, and I was like, well, you know, till your daddy issues come up, and then I'm not too old. But anyway.
Oh God.
Anyway, but yeah. So like, I'm full of bad life choices right now. I'm a mess, and But it's all good. Just oversharing as usual. That's what I do. I yield my time.
All righty then. We've learned a lot about ourselves moving forward. So I am not a big fan of demos, but I am a big fan of solo records. So I bought Rockology. Rockology is not Unfinished Business. Unfinished Business is the sequel to Rockology. The problem with Rockology is, well, half of that record is terrible. 1/8 of that record is really passable. And then 1/4 is amazing. Because a lot of them are completely unfinished songs. There's a song called Mad Dog, which has a great riff, but there's no vocals. And for the most part, most of the tracks don't even have Eric Carr playing drums on them. It's Eric Carr playing the bass and programming a drum machine and singing a vocal melody. Okay, think
it's
about
in
that.
The, for and a it's in the 80s, so it's not a great drum machine. It's like a
right
Roland 808 or less. Probably right.
An 808 is only good for hip hop.
Noted. No one has used it properly since.
And I mean, and to quote Ad Rock, nothing hits like an 808, money making, disco breaking. So basically, this is just stuff that he recorded. He was trying to submit it to Kiss, and nothing happened. And the last four tracks are from the Rockheads. The Rockheads was a cartoon concept he came up with, which basically looked like Funko Pops before Funko Pops were a thing. Little bodies, big noggins. And it was a cartoon idea that he came up with. Gene Simmons still holds the copyright of the Rockheads. And he never did anything with it. So that sucks ass. What we did end up getting were the three songs. It's gone, and Too Cool for School is one of the greatest songs that could have been a Kiss song. It's like, remember Gimme a Feeling from Ace Frehley's Space Invader and how that could have been an amazing Kiss tune? Eyes of Love and Too Cool for School would have been an amazing Kiss tune. However, nothing came of it. Eventually it's released. But the thing is most of this record is completely unfinished. That's the first one they did. Now, think about the Jimi Hendrix posthumous records, right? They finished them, some are unfinished. There's a whole wide range, and there's a whole lot of these tracks. Okay. The first Eric Carr record that they released of unreleased tracks is mostly unfinished songs. That's scraping the bottom of the bucket, if you ask Nick. I would still buy that on vinyl if I could find it at a reasonable price tomorrow. So, unfinished business. I get it in my head. I'm going to buy this album. I'm going to buy this Record Store Day release. It is a the change the cover. It has Eric Carr from Creatures of the Night. They added a way where you can charge it so his eyes glow on the cover while you're listening, which is a cool little gimmick if you don't listen to vinyl. And I get there, and before I go, I'm seeing on the Kiss My Wax Vinyl Face Group page, Facebook page, which I am part of because I'm an idiot and I hate myself. I'm like, somebody got it. I'm like, how much did you pay for it? He's like, 55 euros. And I'm like, oh, that's a big number. That's a big number.
That's
So,
70 bucks, no?
yeah, ish. And I get there and I find it for $47, right? $47. And I look at it and I look down, and the tracks are Eric talks to his fans about music. Eric talks about this. Eric talks about that. And I'm like, I didn't buy this on CD for $15 when it was new. Am I really going to spend 50 bucks on this? And so I walk down the flue, as it were, and I'm going looking through all the Record Store Day records. I left it. I left it there. I held it in my hand. It was the last one, and I could not bring myself to spend the money. And as I'm, walking down and flipping through the records, I hear somebody say, "Do you have the Eric Carr album?" And the owner of the store goes, "Nope, I think I sold them all out. Those were gone right away." And I mean, we only got there at like 10:04. The mall doesn't even open till 11, so I don't know what time he opened. And I almost turned back and said, "Wait, there's one left." And because I hadn't decided if I was going to buy it, I actually texted lawyer wife and I to see if she said, "Go ahead and buy it." She didn't. She did not. But he ends up picking it up and looking at it. And I go over and I talk to him. And I'm like, "Yeah, I had it in my hand, and we had a great conversation about it, and a great conversation about music in general." He was buying a Dio Record Store Day release, and it was cool. And basically, we started playing hot potato with this album because we both knew that we would both love to have it, but we both knew that we didn't want to have to make the choice if we were going to spend that much money on the quality of that album. Because unlike many of the Record Store Day purchasers, I don't buy for collectability, I buy for listenability. And I just couldn't bring myself to spend $50 on something that was subpar. So,
Go ahead and that great explanation. Go ahead and just continue on and show your wares, and then I will do the same with story, with background stories and everything. You go.
I have it in my hand. So, as I'm flipping down, going through the lane, what I came across was a forbidden record. And I don't remember us even discussing Forbidden as Record Store Day this year. It is Record Store Day this year because it's not on Discogs yet. So what I ended up getting was Forbidden Omega Wave, their fifth record. I assumed that this record was recorded and released in the 90s, back when Forbidden was still like a going concern. Turns out that is not accurate. This record came out in 2010, and it's only their fifth record. It is a double album release. Disc one, look at that. It is blue goose shit on opaque milky white. You're gonna tell me that's not delicious. Then you don't want any of my meatballs.
Are you making the Sopranos meatballs with the three meats and two small onions?
No, just that's Goodfellas. And I'm making it with two meats because they didn't have the three meat one.
Artie Bucco, the actor who played Artie Bucco, did do a cookbook of all the recipes from the restaurant with him and Charmaine. I wouldn't mind trying out some of those.
Did I tell you that Christmas dinner this year is Goodfellas prison pasta?
You said that. I may show up unannounced. We'll find out.
Disc two. Look at this bad dog.
Nick is like, absolutely do not show up unannounced to my home ever. I will call the cops on you.
I don't know, because considering like, my mother-in-law's involved, that might be fun. Anyway, disc two of Forbidden Omega Wave. Look at that. It is a... I guess that's not translucent, but it is a completely different... everything is different. It's not the goo shit. This is a splatter. It is a smoky red with silver streaks, and it is gorgeous. I have not listened to this yet. I have cleaned and prepped it for Spinnination, but I have not spun it. And that's all I got. I did buy the kid a copy of Lana Del Rey's NFR Norman Effin Rockwell, and it cost more than this. And I said to the wife last night, because we got another progress report, and the kid is in a gifted school and getting straight A's and nearly 100% in all of her classes. And I looked at her and I said, whatever record she asked for tomorrow, she gets.
That's amazing.
So she got a $47 fucking record.
I mean, Lana Del Rey is a brand new current artist. They charge a lot more, upcharge for sure, because it's a major label. First of all, have we not discussed how much I love Forbidden to such an amount that I have annoyed my friends from the East Coast? I talked about Forbidden as much as I talked about Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. I love Forbidden. Craig is sick of seeing me at every show. Dude, I love you. Can't wait for this new Forbidden. He's like, calm down. We did a couple of interviews. I love Forbidden. We'll get to that in a second. So, where to start? First of all, great pickups. I'll say this. I probably need to go give Lana Del Rey another chance. When I first heard her, I thought she was sucked. I thought she was awful, no talent. And I was like, how did this person get famous? Not even just not my type attractiveness-wise. I was like,
just not my jam.
Not my jam. But I would say that like the amount of people talking about her in my ear has interested me to maybe go back and give a second listen. I love some Billie Eilish songs. I don't sit around and listen to Billie Eilish records. I don't care for Taylor, and it just doesn't resonate with me. I'm not trying to be a shitty boomer person. I just don't. It's just not music made for me. It's just not my jam.
This is a heavy metal podcast. Of course, we are not going to be enthused by pop artists. That's just the reality of the situation.
I mean, I love a lot of a great pop song's a great pop song. I love, you know, I was sick of hearing Because I'm Happy by Pharrell, but like, it's a great song, you know? It's a great, if Weird Al covers you and parodies you, it's probably a great song.
I like the tacky version. I don't like Happy, but I like tacky. Yeah.
So I did Record Store Day. I did this giant art. I've been, you know, you and I did the Smasher Pass, and I made my list, and I'm working with a lot less income this year than last year. A lot of stuff is going on. So I was like, I don't have the bandwidth to just buy shit on a whim that I see in the shelves. I had to go with a much more strict strategy this year than even last year, because I knew I was going to not buy too many things. I saw a lot of things I wanted. Right off the bat, the one copy of Forbidden was bought right out from under me by the metalhead who I see every year at these things, and she's always like 5 minutes earlier than me.
Oh, crap, we had like six of them.
And they had the one. Weird, because San Francisco, but they had the one, and she got it. So I was like, none for me, I guess. Maybe one other person might have got one, but I don't think they had that many. There were many other things I certainly would have considered with more disposable income. Acid King, also, they didn't have one, which is a bummer. Acid King, Middle of Nowhere, Center of Everywhere. It's not like a classic, but it is what it was like their comeback record after a hiatus. It's kind of what set them on the road they're on now. It's a good record. It's just not like as great as the last couple that are a little more closer together for whatever reason. There were a few other things I had on my list that, you know, I was like, I get a Ramones every year. This year I didn't get one. I was like, I don't know that I want the demos of the debut record.
Why would anyone want that?
Because completists, I'm a bit of a completist sometimes, and I do have Ramones, like, weird live things that nobody would probably buy.
Switching to vinyl fixed me of being a completist.
It would. It's too expensive. I'm a Ramones obsessive, so, like, I do want everything they have. I have more random Record Store Day Ramones things than classic Ramones records on vinyl. I just don't have, I was gifted Rock and Roll High School, like a bad beat up version, but I love it so much, so I would never replace it. And I have a couple of other. I have the debut, of course, the remastered debut, of course. But like, anyway, Motorhead, Ramones, Kiss, some kind of Kiss every year, some kind of Ramones every year, some kind of Motorhead every year, some kind of Ramones every year. I got none of those. I did buy a Motorhead the last couple of years too. Didn't. We talked about when we did our Smash or Pass that if Black Breath had put out that box set of 5 LPs or cassettes as also individual purchasables, I might have bought one because that's a great band, but I can't justify the cost of 5.
I have one of their albums. I have their third record, Slaves Beyond Death or something, and it's amazing.
Sad. If money wasn't an object, I would have bought Body Snatcher, Vile Conduct, but they didn't have that. Definitely the heaviest metal record out this year for Record Store Day. But again, I love Forbidden to a level you can't even imagine. So there were a few things out. And again, a shout out to Creed, who has their Greatest Hits album not on Record Store Day, but next month because of a delay. But it was announced for intended to be for Record Store Day, but it's coming out a month from now. And again, with the Creed completely sold out cruises and tour. They played their first show. We should have done that in News Check. Creed played their first show in 12 years.
Ew.
This weekend. Whatever. So anyway, and Def Leppard and Dio. I needed neither of these things. We discussed.
I'm not trying to interview people so I can be smarmy.
You can be smarmy. I've interviewed Tremonti. I would like to interview Stapp.
Love to interview Tremonti. I've never interviewed him.
And then two things that I had to decide to not get the debut reissue by Enslaved, Vikingur Veldi. I don't know how good that. So here's the thing. Like, I came from a time where, first of all, my first exposure to music was radio, reel to reel, and my brother's record collection, which he would come home and play. So I got to hear a lot of stuff. I wasn't purchasing stuff. I was a little boy. Then I made my first purchase, Rock and Roll Over, when I was 5, so which came out right around my 5th birthday, right before. So I kind of wish like things were like the old Tower Records, where you could go like listen to the CD before you went and bought it. I wish you could like hear some of these demos and rarities and hodgepodge albums for Record Store Day. I wish they would drop some samples online so I could judge the quality to purchase. That would be a thing I would like.
That'd be nice.
Work with Bandcamp or a future Bandcamp competitor that's coming out I know about. And like work with them and like drop 3 tracks in full.
Drop something.
Like the day before, just so I know what to spend my money on. So, and also, Wardruna re-put out their Scald album, which I already have on vinyl. I have a limited edition red vinyl signed by Einar. So, like, I'm not going to go buy the new one this year when I bought it 6 years ago. I'm just not going to rebuy it. Even though the vinyl is beautiful, I don't need 2 of these. Even if I was to buy one and give you one, like, I don't need to. It's a waste. I'd rather get something I never had before. So, now that I've done the whole warm-up, here's what I landed
completely on. Sane, by the way.
I almost texted you to ask you if you wanted me to get you one of these, but you were hot and cold on it when we did the chat. While you were talking, I opened these all, so at least I can unbox them and show you them. I figured you were going to do the same. You did the same. So I got this guy we talked about, Grohl, Benante, and Ian. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters.
I would have said no, by the way.
Okay, Goose is back. Or is that another cat?
Oh, this is Roy.
That's Roy. Okay, sorry. Roy is the oddly named one. So here's the basically charity single. Imagine the music this band would make as an original, like a hard crossover thrash hardcore in the style of Grohl's first band Scream and SOD and Anthrax. How sick would this be? But anyway, let's take a look at it. Here's the front cover. We've seen the back cover image has been in the press photos of them at 606 Studios. It's got the CBGBs. Did you see if you go look at the Ghost Cult Mag Instagram stories, I was at a bar this week, a metal bar here in San Francisco called Benders that used to be the Lucky 13 Obviously, every city has like a Lucky 13 bar. New York has a famous one still. That's a great metal bar and metal club that has shows. I don't think it's the original, but Bender's has a replica of the 315 awning on this image. Like, it's in my stories right now. I'll send you the picture. It's worth seeing. So let's see. I need to get, like, is there such a thing as vinyl inner sleeves for 7 inches and 10 inches? Because I don't have any.
They do exist. However, I buy so few of them. And most of the 10 inches I buy come with them because they're so hard to come by. Just for the record, I am now purchasing a Tremonti record because somebody's selling it for $8.
This hopefully is the Sinatra one.
It is Marching in Time.
Oh, the metal one. Okay. Now here's the big reveal. Look at this beautiful, look at this vinyl that is inspired by Bad Brains. Oh, look at this. Look at that.
It's thing. Lemonade with goose shit.
It has the goose shit. We're seeing a lot of goose shit splatter. So this is dope. I just needed to have this. And it was cheap. I expected this to be like $40 on a 12-inch. I forgot it was going to be a 7-inch. I thought it was going to be a 12-inch and $40.
Look at my face.
This was $20. This is the right price for the value of a single. Of a vinyl, a brand new 20.
How many songs?
2.
That's why I don't buy 7-inch.
And actually, there's the back is, you can't see from here, but it's autographs. Etched in autographs I don't need. I've never had a Dave Grohl autograph anything. Obviously, I've met Charlie and Scott many times and had them autograph stuff for me. So that was like, I needed to have this purchase. Then here's the one, the Holy Grail record. The holy shit, Holy Grail. I needed this in my life. I've been waiting for this for a long time. You probably will not be jazzed on this. This is Team Sleep, which is the dream pop side project, low-key supergroup, mainly known, the most famous person is Chino Moreno of Deftones. I don't think you're a fan. Anyway, I am a huge fan.
Not significantly, no.
I'm a humongous fan. I know you wouldn't enjoy a series on them, but I would.
So this record, I wouldn't. I'm just not a big... Yeah, go ahead.
This record is about 13 years old. By the way, today is the 13th anniversary of when I met interviewed Ozzy.
Put the record on your other shoulder.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm blocking it with... I should just move the microphone out of the shot today.
No, put the microphone back. The microphone sounds good when it's right... That's the spot. The money shot spot.
Right there. So here's Team Sleep. This record has been out. But the thing is, when they made this record, they had a bunch of guest stars. And when they came to do the final track listing... All these tracks they made, they left off, including different versions of some of the more special songs on the record, featuring Mary Timoney of Helium, who, wonderful band that's very underrated, and Mike Patton of Faith No More, hero to Chino. Local hero, because Chino is from Sacramento, Mike Patton is from Eureka up north. So now we have the full deluxe album as it could have been with these, I've been dying to hear, they've never been released. These other tracks. So this is the whole purpose to get this thing. I love this record. It's never been on vinyl. Now it's on vinyl and with these extra tracks. So here's the gatefold with the, you know, artwork from the time. And now we're going to hit the mic. I did what you do. That's why I wanted it out of the shot.
Pass the mic.
Let's just pull out one. Let's pull it out. Let's whip it out. Whip it out Saturday and show this thing. But yeah. Normally, I have these all ready to go when we do the regular show. So there's an insert that looks cool, kind of glossy, nice. This was $40, and I was, even though money is tight, I was okay to spend it.
Say my record was $40? Because mine was $40.
And you were complaining about it being $40. Here's a photo of the band. Chino is blocked out by the sun. Of course he is. Here's the lyrics. Chino's very obtuse lyricism from his whole career. I don't know that it's enhancing to have the lyrics or worse to have the lyrics, because you'll be the consternation of not understanding what the fuck he's talking about. And this is on a gold vinyl. Fucking dope. Fucking dope.
Right? I got a few gold vinyls, and when they do them just right, they are delicious.
Ipecac, this is not on Ipecac, but Ipecac, this is Warner Music, of course, because that's Chino's label of choice. Ipecac is... putting out 25th anniversary versions on gold vinyl variants, and I don't know that I need
it. Shouldn't 25th anniversary be silver vinyl?
Yeah, I know. Gold is 50, but we're not going to be alive. And then finally, I wasn't going to buy a third thing. There were other things I saw and thought about getting. I thought about the Talking Heads live on the radio, but again, I want to hear it first. I hear it's great things about it.
Wait. Was that a Talking Heads record that was a radio broadcast that they've now pressed to vinyl? Oh, I did not know that existed. I'm glad I didn't, because it was probably about $80.
It was not cheap, but I would have thought about it if money wasn't an object. So then,
I saw Stop Making Sense last week for like $50, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, so here's the record I talked about in the preview that you were like, no, I don't know them. And I was like, this is an essential, this and Acid Queen, if you're a Doom fan or a Sludge fan or a Noise fan, this is an essential record. And also we did a feature last year. One of my writers did like a little like primer on how to get, like if you want to get into noise rock bands, modern and historic, here's one of those bands that was on this list. And I talked about this. This is Jucifer. This is the debut of Jucifer. It is out of print. You could get like an original 1998 press of it from a CD that's garbage for $9 on Discogs. Or you waited for Record Store Day to get this for $32, and I'm glad I did it. I didn't really have the money, but I went for it.
Remastered, vinyl, properly vinyl mastered?
I believe so. And so I'm very pleased to have this in my hand. Like, I never thought I would see this. Like, again, I still feel like some of these things, it's the whim of who's going to put it out that they even get made. So this is Jucifer, Calling All Cars on the Las Vegas Strip. So they made their debut album because they've always been independent. They've never really had a record label. They have their own labels. The original label this came out on was called Crack Rock Records. I think it was probably themselves calling it Crack Rock Records. It should tell you what you need to know. And so this is amazing that I'm holding this. This is sick. Again, you could still, I wrote it in my thing, you can still get the OG copy for $9, but like to have this is sick. So let's just take a quick look. Here's the cover, here is the back cover. These are true to the original. I had the tape, and the tape broke, it was badly made. Here's the gatefold, which again, I don't have a reference for this, a photo. They're a duo, drums and sort of noisy downtuned guitars. And I can't wait to play this. Let's see what's in here. It's two vinyls, double LP. I think it's two. Is it two? Is it one LP or two? No, it's one. It's one LP, and it comes with a giant commemorative book. So this is fucking cool. Let's look at the book first. This is all lyrics and photos and things. This is insane. And it's like a story. Oh, wow, this is crazy. What's in here? They have like a thing with the charts from the recording. There's anecdotes and a story about their career and the making and press they got. They are known as one of the loudest bands ever. So I think this would be an interesting band to do a series on someday. Maybe not now. And then let's just take a quick look at the record. Let me take the record out. They have...
Whip it out, boy.
Whip it out. They have a lot of minor releases. Maybe if we did just the full length, it'd be fun. But I don't know. Act 1 and Side 2 is Act 2, because Vegas. Which, again, I remember from the cassette. And I was like, what is this magical craziness? All right. And this is on a white vinyl. And it looks like a map of Vegas is the label, which is dope. I don't remember that being a thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's look carefully. Yeah, it literally looks like the Google Maps. And it might be the Google Maps from back then. I don't even know how they did this. Stardust Hotel is gone. Circus Circus. Stardust something something. Silver Striper. Landmark Hotel, I think, is gone. So this is like the map from 1998 as the label of the record. How sick is this? Come on, dude. This is what Record Store Day is about. This kind of release.
Correct.
What it was meant for. Unfortunately, the only drawback, no Mylar. But none of these had a Mylar, but like whatever, I'll Mylar them. I need to order Mylar sleeves.
My Forbidden did not have a Mylar. I did get another record in the mail today, which was the final of my Father's Day records from 2023, which did have the Mylar. Well, and I'll check that on a later date. Just for the record, I did check this record, and there are only CDs available. There are no original OG vinyl pressings of this that I can find. Which is, so I think that's the first one, which makes that, as you said, the ultimate record store day purchase. When, because once you become a vinyl person, it sucks. It really sucks. I don't know if anybody's really talked about this, but it sucks ass because what about 20 to 30% of all new records are pressed on vinyl? Tops. That's probably way too much. And, you know, there are a lot of bands I can name, Allfather specifically, that if Allfather dropped their debut record on vinyl today, I would be throwing all the money at them. I would even spend the $30 it would cost to ship it from England.
Mad love to Allfather, one of my favorite bands. Got to interview him finally for that new record. The UK, the UK shipping is a hindrance for me. I know you got the hookup with Duncan. I would like to. There's a lot of UK bands I would like to support. The UK right now has probably the best scene in the whole world right now for brutal heavy underground music. I'm not kidding. The best bands right now, best new bands the last 5 years are coming out of England. And then the bands before that era that kind of led the way, Allfather, Urn. I even told, in my interview with Tom from Allfather, we were like, I feel like you predated all these other bands that kind of went past you because of whatever, popularity and record labels. But like, he was like, yeah, man, I would love to come to the US. Somebody's got to help us get over there. Like, I need a festival or something to book us so we can come over, or a big band to take us. It's hard. Things are hard. Things are hard.
Yep, that I mean that's the reality of the situation. And I mean it would be cool if it would be awesome if everybody could press something, but they can't. So that's what sucks about buying vinyl all the time. Anywho, this was supposed to be 15 minutes and we've gone on for an hour and 15 minutes. Just feels like it was nothing. The spaghetti meatballs are not gonna make themselves. So my good friend Keefe, do you have anything else to drop for us this week?
I don't. I do want to ask a thing. I did see a thing in the store, and of course, I saw a whole bunch of things. They also let us, like, I think two years ago, they didn't want you to browse. Just pick the record stores day stuff and get the fuck out. Because I was there first thing in the morning. There was a line. I wasn't as far back as I was 2 years ago. Last year again, no line because of, like, they didn't open till 12, and it was fine. I still got everything I kind of wanted except one thing, which I ended up getting later. Again, if you miss something for record store day you want or something we checked, go to recordstoreday.com and go to the Market tab, and that will show you every record DIY affiliated record store day store in America, at least, and tell you where you can order. It's not the same as getting it live in the store or in the racks like Nick likes to, but if you have to have something,
It'll be cheaper than eBay.
if I need that Acid King eventually, someone will have one of the stores will have it, and I won't have to shell out for it. They didn't make that many, also. Randomly, the store had 100 vinyl outers for $20, and I thought that was an exceptional deal, even more than how like the
No, it's that I get them
is
on
that
Amazon for
average?
twelve,
Really?
100
For
for
100?
twelve.
100 for
Yeah,
12.
I buy there. There's a. I get 100 outers and 50 inners for like $20 on
What?
Amazon. Yeah.
Send me some links. We have links in our description that, and the Glacially Musical link tree that I made that doesn't seem to help us. I don't know if we're getting any action from it. Doesn't seem so. Because it's linked to
I
my
do
affiliate
this
account.
for the fan.
I would give you the money back if we made any money.
Don't
By the
need
way,
it. I don't
I
care.
mean, like, but if it made, you know, it would be nice if we got a little. I mean, like, if we got like a little money for doing Glacially Musical, we could buy records to do together. Like this STP that we're probably eventually going to do in a chaser.
Oh, we should do that soon. What,
Yeah.
so,
By the
okay.
way, I asked here, spoiler alert. I have been in touch with Todd Severin of Ripple Music, who is interested in doing an interview with me to promote the upcoming Ripple Fest Boston, and I've been talking about Glacially Musical. So, we might be able to get Tom. We might be able to get Todd on the pod to talk stoner doom and stoner rock and psychedelic rock.
I don't even like that stuff.
Yeah, okay. It's not April Fool's Day. That was 3 weeks ago. I have nothing else. I'm glad we did this. I didn't feel wasn't I haven't been feeling too smurfy, and this is my happy time and my happy place. Thank you for pulling me out of my doldrums and making bad life choices and texting girls from Tinder. and see where that goes. I'll keep you posted. Maybe I'll review my Tinder dates on the show. That'll be an the Tinder check.
No, new.
You do not want to know what I do when the clothes come off and the drinks go down. I'm sober right now.
But, oh my god, cocktail.
But by the way, at the Fat Mike at the Fat Records pop up, they also had beer. They were giving away free beers and free Waterloo Sparklies. So I was like, that's how you do it. That's the only thing missing from Records Today. We got free beer when we went in.
Oh, my dude, you have never been to Record Store Day in St. Louis.
Maybe next year.
Frenchtown Records last year, they're like, we got Bush, we got Bud Light, we got Budweiser. And I'm like, okay.
You discussed that on the Record Store Day wrap-up last year. You did that.
And I'm like, literally, it's 10 a.m. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah. I'll drink a beer at 10 a.m. Like, normally, I would drink
a beer. If you're out and about, you can have it.
I used to drink a 40 before community college, bro, and then eat fried chicken for lunch. How did I live through the 90s and not die? And then I would, like, tell my mom. I was like, what'd you do today? Well, I went to the bodega, and I got a 40, and I drank it completely before I went to ethics class. And then I got an A on my test, drunk. And then I went to the cafeteria at the community college and got the only edible thing, fried chicken, three-piece fried chicken and fries for $2 because it was cheap. So you ate it. I don't know the quality of the chicken or the fry or the potatoes, but it's probably not good. And I'm still here somehow. So thank you for listening to my trauma dump.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask you to mute now. Okay.
Amtrak at the end. I'm such a disaster. Listen, I don't know, we don't have the subscribership to get a sponsor, but if I could pick any sponsor, I would pick like BetterHelp therapy. Like the Glacially Musical Podcast brought to you by BetterHelp, because when the music isn't enough therapy for you, you got to talk to somebody, and I need to talk to somebody. Somebody help me.
Wow. Okay. I need to make meatballs, and I don't get to listen to Forbidden while I do it, which is unfortunate enough.
I'm jealous that you have it. We didn't have one. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have got the Juicifer if they had the Forbidden. I wouldn't have got it, even though I wanted. No, Holy Grail record for me.
I'm going to tell you, you should have gotten the Juicifer rather than Forbidden, because Forbidden is available on vinyl now. You can get a 2010 version of the damn thing.
I mean, I'm going, I probably have one back east that I don't know about, and I'm going to see Forbidden in 2 weeks with the new singer, so it probably might not have it there.
I have not seen them since 1996.
Yeah, I love the early couple. I loved Omega Wave, and then I love those first two Forbidden records are unfuckwithable. And we could do Forbidden as a series. They announce a new record, we should time the new record to do Forbidden's whole career. It'd be like five records with the new one. It would be sick.
Sounds good. I'm down for that. Anywho.
Take us home, bro.
Mute, son of a... God damn it, anyway. Thank you for joining us this week for the special 15-minute version of the Glacially Musical Podcast Record Stay Edition. Record Stay. Record Day Edition. I'm on beer number 3 for the podcast, and that is after the Battle Hawks 1, which I don't know how many beers I had then. I don't know. I don't care. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you to Keithy. It's fun to have these conversations. I don't care if I ever get a dollar from doing this. I really don't. What I care about is having fun, bringing fun content, and smiles. I want to be the Ronald McDonald land of smiles. So do me a favor, tell a buddy, tell a friend, throw a tweet, and just ask somebody, and then send a follow-up. Did you listen to that thing? You know, be like the hippo on Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Did you get that thing I sent you? You know, just be that guy. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Records are awesome. Vinyl is awesome. Record Store Day is a scam that I willingly participate in to get scammed. You made it this far. You're awesome. You know, give a like, give a review, give an interaction of some sort anywhere, because that's what everything wants. And with that being said, this has been the Glacially Musical Podcast. It does not play in Peoria.
But Record Store Day most definitely happened in a record store in Peoria.
I don't know. I don't have that many.